everyone. Welcome to the Ugly Betty's. My name is Steven.
My name is George.
And we're talking about season 3, episode 18. We're getting close to the end of the season.
Yes, we are.
Very close.
And it certainly is a mother of a problem.
And that's the title of the episode, and that is a mother of a problem.
Yes.
And might I say this, anything with Christine Baranski is... everything.
Okay, we're gonna take this episode to give Christine Baranski her flowers. I mean, character actress queen Christine Baranski is in this episode.
You know what you need to YouTube when you get home tonight? Everybody should YouTube her singing The Worst Pies in London from Sweeney Todd. She eats it up.
I mean, the first time I learned Christine Baranski would sing, and I loved her in this role, was in Chicago. She was Mary Sunshine, the reporter.
Yeah.
Understandable.
You know.
Oh, she was so good in that.
You know who else, who someone I know and you know who played that role, Mary Sunshine?
Who?
Lauren.
Oh, when did she play it?
She played it in college.
And then for those of you listening, next week, the fabulous Lauren will be returning as co-host.
Yes. For the sex issue.
Oh, yeah. They definitely are going to try to do the whole sex sells.
Ooh, and we're going to make it very sexy. And then Lauren's going to return again for one of my favorite episodes of all time, In the Stars.
So, already I love this episode because Christine Baranski is in it. And this she got right before she got The Good Wife, and now she's on The Good Fight, which is a Good Wife spinoff.
Yes, and
so this was right before she got that.
I know this is going to be the Christine Baranski episode, but I have not seen the good wife or The Good Fight.
I have only seen, I think, an episode or two of the good wife. I haven't watched The Good Fight, but I will say, I know she does fabulous work though.
She won an Emmy for it, right? She was at least nominated.
Yeah, I mean she's fabulous.
You know who else on those two shows, The Good Fight and The Good Wife? Audra McDonald.
Yeah.
Another queen. Mm. I mean, I know she has her theater flowers. She's the most winning woman. She won in all four acting categories and then some. She's a six-time Tony winner.
Yeah.
But where is her Oscar? Where is her? She was nominated for an Emmy for doing the film performance of Lady Day at Emerson Bar Grill, which is about Billie Holiday, and she won a Tony for that role, and HBO filmed it, and she got nominated for it.
It's coming.
And then I want her to win an Emmy. I want her to win her Oscar, and I think she already has the Grammy for
it. So she's halfway to the ACOG.
She halfway. Let's push her over that edge.
Yes. And I did have the privilege of meeting Audra, and I got a lovely picture with her.
I know, I saw that picture.
I went to go see her and Frankie and Johnny and the Claire de Lune with Michael Shannon, and they were both fabulous in it.
I mean, he goes to New York more than I go to New York. Want to know why? Because I haven't been to New York, so obviously he's been to New York more times than I have.
And it's true what they say, concrete jungle where dreams are made of. It really is true.
Oh, you wanted to, let's talk about, you recently went to New York, right?
I did, and I had the privilege of seeing friend to the podcast, the very fabulous Michael Urey in Chicken and Biscuits, and he was fabulous, the entire ensemble.
What's the show is about?
So, Chicken and Biscuits, Michael Urey, it's about a black family that gets together for a funeral because one of their own had passed away. Mm-hmm. However, one of the sons is in a relationship with Michael Urey's character, so that's how he gets into the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, there's a whole religious backdrop to it, which is why the mother has a hard time accepting the son's sexuality and who his partner is, because it's a white Jewish man.
Mm.
And will deliberately go out of her way to mispronounce his name, and, you know.
I wish I would have known... And if, you know, if my money was better, you know, I would have came with you to go to New York.
Absolutely.
To see it. But we are going to go to New York sometime next year. I'm claiming that. We're going to go to New York and have a Broadway week.
Yes.
We're going to go see, like, all these
shows. I was happy
shows.
To bring back a copy of the Playbill for Steven.
Yes. I have a rule. Like, if you... I have a rule with all my friends. If you go to New York, if you see a Broadway show, bring it back a Playbill for me.
Yeah.
I have a nice, decent Playbill collection. He
absolutely does.
Yeah.
And then I got to see another actor who I know socially, the fabulous Nick Dodani,
mm-hmm.
who was in his Broadway debut playing the role of Ogie and Waitress.
How was Waitress?
I loved it. And I have to say,
who was
Jennifer Nettles sang her face off in the role of Jenna.
Woo! How was her used to be? She used to be mine.
I know I'm a white boy, and I'm so sorry, but I was in the audience saying, "Sang girl!" I just, you know, she took me there. She took me there.
Has a black person or a person of color played that role yet? I don't know.
They usually have a person of color play one of the friends because it's about three waitresses, and usually they have a black person or a person of color playing that role.
I know there's a, you know, the person who wrote the show, obviously. Sarah Bareilles played it, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of amazing people, what's her name?
Vanessa Carlton.
Vanessa Carlton played it.
Okay.
And then, what's her name?
Not our favorite person when it comes to political reasons, but for talent reasons, Catherine McPhee
played it,
so, I mean.
And I think that's it's a juicy role. It's a great role.
And She Used to Be Mine is like the ultimate number. So it's the the ultimate Broadway number where you can really show your stuff.
When I watched, it was the Tony Awards that year, and it was the one that Cynthia Erivo won for The Color Purple. Mm-hmm. When I saw her performance, and when I saw oh my gosh, I forgot her name who was nominated. And she won for Carole King a couple years before.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
When I saw her perform She Used to Be Mine at the Tony, it's like, oh my gosh. I wouldn't be mad if she won. I would have been mad just from that performance. And they're like, oh my gosh, give her a Tony. She's coming for that Tony. And then when Cynthia Erivo won, they're like.
So I thought she was great in this. And I love how in this episode, I love how Betty goes to Claire for advice on how to hold her own at the rich people party.
Mm-hmm.
I love that she goes to Claire for advice.
And she said, like, I love how she knows, I'm like, ugh, she's such a rich bitch.
Ooh, she's really, and then I love how at the end of the episode, coming full circle with that moment, she's like, dish it back.
Mm-hmm. And I
people are not going to like you, Betty. You have to get over it and suck it up, you know, and you have to dish it back.
And I like how she said, like, she gave it him, like, she always does this as part. There's this one topic. And she
thought it was torture.
Yes.
She got all prepped and ready to go, but then it was changed at the last minute to opera.
And then she, you know.
But here's the thing, I thought of you, actually, when I was watching. She's like, oh, she has to improvise.
Mm-hmm.
She has to expert talk her this.
Yeah, but she remembered.
Mo did a whole spread.
About opera and fashion.
Yes.
And she talked, I did like, yes. And
I was so proud of her watching that moment. I was like, yes, you go, girl.
You better use those improv. And I love the cat, mushroom cat moment. That was, I did like, oh, Lord.
Oh, and Matt took the fault for it.
Yeah.
Took the fall, the fault. He took the fall for it.
Yeah. And I love Betty's outfit at the party. It was one of her more cohesive outfits. And we're talking about her growth in fashion.
Yes.
That was like her most cohesive fashion.
You really do see Betty truly grow up and evolve in this season.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like, even though this show only lasted 4 seasons and I really feel like it could have gone longer, I actually love the way these 4 seasons are structured because it's very college, mm-hmm. as an adult, and you watch Betty grow up and evolve in the 4 years, and the final episode is kind of like her graduation to, like, the real world beyond mode.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I love the way her growth progresses beautifully in the 4 seasons. It's like a real-life college we're watching.
Mm-hmm. And anything else you want to talk about with, like, the Betty part before we move on to another plot point in the episode?
Well, I mean, you know, we've already given our flowers to the Queen, Miss Baranski, but, you know, I love how Matt stands up to to his mother at the end and says, no, we're leaving. Mm-hmm. I really admire Matt for standing up after she was like, well, your mother just made it very clear to me that I'm not good enough for you. Because mm-hmm. even after impressing everybody at that sit-down dinner with
even,
her...
Even she was impressed.
Yes, and that still wasn't enough because she had the audacity to not go to Yale or take piano lessons.
And you know, and that's something I want to talk about. Is that sometimes it doesn't matter what school you come from to be who successful person and right. where you're going. Like you want to talk about actors. There's a lot of people who haven't gone. Obviously, there's a lot of successful actors who have gone to these, great institutions, Yale
or Juilliard
or
RADA or Lambda,
NYU. But there is also the people who just pound the pavement, who got their BFA but pounded the pavement or just
You know what was a really poignant quote that I read? Mark Wahlberg was like, my training wasn't in Juilliard. My training as an actor was in interrogation rooms with cops. Because that's where you really have to learn to be on the spot and, listen to what they're telling you. And, you have to react and you have to plead your case. Mm-hmm. And, he said that's where my training was. So.
And I didn't go... I do want to go to, a big, at Yale or NYU. I do have a dream to go there maybe one day. But, right now, it's not in right now in the foreseeable future. Is it in my cards? No, I don't see it. I'm not saying I couldn't do it. I'm not saying I couldn't get in if I want to. But it's not where I'm headed right now.
I've had those discussions, because in my 20s, I was briefly considering going back to school. Mm-hmm. But then I decided, because Cal Lutheran, my college, kept sending me pamphlets for graduate school.
They had an acting program graduate?
No. So I would have gone back and gotten, a master's in education
and become a
teacher or something. But then I decided, let me focus on this one-man show and let me not even think about grad school. And I'm glad I didn't. And now in my 30s, I'm at that point where, would I go to grad school? Yes, I would go for acting or theater because... down the road, I would love to explore possibly teaching, mm-hmm. at a college. Mm-hmm. But for now, I don't see the need because things are going very well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like I said, and I also, I would have to do grad school. Like, I'll go anywhere in the country. I'll go anywhere in the world, but I'd have to get, a full ride. Mm-hmm. I already just, got out of I'm almost out of 10 years of debt after college. I'm not putting my family and my family's money through that again. Mm. So, I'm almost out of my college debt.
I'm happy for you.
But it took a decade because I graduated in 2012, so.
My dad had military money, so my school was already paid for.
Good for you.
Thank you.
And like I said, no, I'm not going to ring up more debt like that. So I'll only do it if it's a full ride.
Yale is for free. Wow. Yale, you don't know about what happened with Yale. They're giving full rides to people now.
Oh, wow.
In their theater department, drama department.
Good to know.
What's it called? Virgil told me about it.
Very good to know. But we'll see. For now, I have auditions, and I just had a voiceover audition today before I got here to record, and I have another voiceover audition next week.
Look at you.
So, I mean...
you're getting audition. Oh.
Yeah, things are going very well right now. So, like I said, I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no, I'm saying maybe.
I'm not getting auditions, but I'm,
Well, busy.
I'm busy.
Yes, you're putting together a show, and that's going to be your folding chair. That's going to be your calling card.
Yeah, and that's going to be very, very exhausting.
But there's nothing like it.
Yeah, I'm still freaking scared. I'm scared, and you know who else is scared? Hilda, because of her father, and Elena is trying to set her up with Ralph Macchio.
And I have to say...
I love Ralph Macchio!
He is so cute. Ralph Macchio. And I do have to say, I love the awkwardness of the whole family trying to set the two of them up and make that happen. I love when Hilda, tries to drag Elena away to talk to her in private, and she's like, what does she say to her? Like, don't sulk or don't pout or stop,
Yeah, it was so... It was, what's it called? He's a good guy, and, like, I love how Ignacio is geeking out. Like, he's, like, some... Basically the president, but...
And then I love how Hilda just immediately brings him down, like, he's a public official. He's not Justin Timberlake.
And you see how... They have great chemistry.
They do.
It's hard not to have great chemistry with, Ana Ortiz. She's really good. She just gives you everything you need to be, you know, that actor with her.
Yeah.
And I love at the end, they actually go out. There's a date. And,
yeah.
And then I love
how Archie's like, okay, I asked her out. She said yes.
Why? He's like, oh my gosh, I'm so surprised. I'm so shocked.
And I love how Hilda's like, subtlety's not really, you know, in our family's DNA.
And next, there's two other parts of this episode. Well, like, the thing that Daniel and Wilhelmina, and then just what Daniel's going through and Wilhelmina's going, them downsizing.
Yeah, I mean, oh my god.
And I want to talk about Wilhelmina's arc. It's like she's giving away her furs, her jewelry.
I loved how deliciously campy, theatrical, over the top, in the most beautiful, fabulous theater way possible Vanessa Williams was in this episode.
This is like an Emmy nominated episode. I would have nominated for itself.
I love when Mark walks in. Hello, Mark. And she's just draped in everything on her bed.
She's draped in her furs. Give it to them. Give it to them. And she was like,
it was so old Hollywood overdramatic, and that's what I loved about it.
And I love what, and I, it said, like, she had to, like, downsize so she didn't get her usual beluga and champagne. She had to hit
walnuts and seltzer water.
And then it got leaked to the, but.
Yep, and then Suzuki, oh, Suzuki really humiliates Wilhelmina in the press in this episode, and Wilhelmina really took the hit in this. She just turned to Mark and said, cancel my meetings, cancel my calls, I'm done for the day. Oof. She really took the hit there, and you felt it. So, I have to say, Vanessa Williams really does great work in this episode.
And I want to say, you know, I love at the end of the episode, you said, I will give up those things to save this magazine, but I will not give up my beluga caviar and my champagne.
Yeah. She said, I do not need the diamonds and the furs.
I just need my caviar and my champagne.
Yep. So.
Oh, you know they sell that caviar at Nobu, right?
Huh. I've never tried caviar.
I tried it once.
Oh, the top, yeah. Vanessa Williams was in this episode.
And the next thing I want to talk about, Daniel and Molly. The last thing I want to talk about, Daniel and Molly.
Oh, Molly, like I said, she's really given it everything she's got in this performance. Mm-hmm. Because, God, I can't imagine going through what Molly is going through.
And you see Daniel, he just cares. He just wants to do everything he can to help.
He doesn't
her.
Care if it's a 2% chance. He wants to take that 2%.
Mm-hmm.
But then he finally has to come back around and go, okay, if this is the way you want to do this, then we're going to live every single moment together while you're here.
Mm-hmm. It was very beautiful.
Just like how you see Betty grow and evolve beautifully in this episode, you see Daniel beautifully grow and evolve with this episode. It's so...
You want to try that one without the yawn?
Yeah, it's been a long day. Sorry, listeners. No, but yes, you see him beautifully grow and evolve in this episode.
Yeah.
And then in the season, I have to say, I love the progression with Daniel in this season growing up. I understand what one of our guests had said about a lack of chemistry between the two actors, but putting that aside... By herself, I think she's doing fabulous work. And I can't imagine going through what her character's going through. So.
It was very sweet.
just for her to be like, no, I don't want to put myself through this again.
Yeah, this was a very good episode. Anything with Christine Baranski is a good episode.
Yes.
And I think this is a beautiful place to end. Is there anything else you want to talk about this episode? Because it was a really good episode.
It was. I mean, like I said, all hail Christine Baranski. And, yeah, I mean, next episode, the fabulous Lauren will be in my place, and they will be talking about season 3, episode 19, The Sex Issue.
The sex.
And then we will be back for season 3, episode 20, to talk about the aftermath.
The rabbit test.
Yes, so be sure to tune in for the next 2 episodes, because we have a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I love the rabbit test. There's so
Me
many
too.
Things I want to talk
Me
about
too.
The rabbit test.
I can't
oh
wait.
Oh my gosh. Like, I know exactly how I'm opening with the rabbit test. That episode is like one of my favorite episodes of the season.
Oh, there's a joke that I was laughing about. Even after I was finished watching it, I was laughing about it in the shower. It was so funny. So, till the next episode.
My name is Steven.
My name is George.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I should stop it.